News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Yeah, Dalton Arwig, also known in these parts as Gossip Guy. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I think that name's taken around here.
And it would be who?
Well, I don't know. Let's just say someone has that in their name already. So maybe Rumors Guy? Rumors Dalton? I don't know. Rumors? I'll need to work on that.
Oh, I got you. Somebody else has taken the name.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think he lives in Austin, Texas now. So don't worry about that. You can supplant him. You can. I mean, he doesn't get it for a lifetime, yeah. The nickname.
Well, I'm only gossipy when it's a really juicy story.
So you played it up. You know, this is a story you told on yourself. I love it because I love when I'm at my desk and you come sauntering back to the back there,
the water
like,
cooler,
yeah. And it's like, oh, don't you're kind of playing the field a little bit. You're feeling everybody out,
but I play coy. That's right.
You set us up. Now I wasn't here when you were doing this yesterday, but Dalton will walk in and just kind of throw out a little nugget and to get everybody's heads on a swivel. Like, what did you just what now? And so you did have some juicy stuff yesterday. It was breaking news about John Merrill.
Yeah, and that story has turned from 0 miles an hour to 100 miles an hour really quickly.
With your help.
With my help. So, Tuesday there was this report out from a website that I had not heard of until Tuesday, to be completely honest with you. National File is the name of this website.
Never heard of it.
I hadn't either, but they provided accusations in a report on Tuesday, and these accusations were levied by, I guess she's 44 years old, a 44-year-old legal aide named Cesare McPherson in Montgomery. And this woman claimed that she had had an affair with Secretary of State John Merrill. Secretary of State Merrill, of course, is married, and this woman claimed that she had an affair with him, provided pictures, some pretty risque text messages that they had sent between each other, and even a book that had allegedly been gifted to her by the Secretary of State, provided some pretty specific accusations.
What was the book? Book did he provide? What did he, what was the big gift in writing?
It wasn't a Harry Potter book or Lord of the Rings. It was something that you would normally find in an area of the bookstore where you have to maybe cover your face cover your identity if you're in that section,
because
you don't want anybody from the church to know that you're in that section, or anybody from your wherever you may work.
Like it wouldn't look good on a tabletop.
I believe the title of the book was Sex. That's it. That was it.
Okay.
Just sex. And so some pretty specific accusations that were levied against John Merrill. He came out yesterday or late Tuesday and denied those accusations.
Right.
Completely denied them. And then AL.com got a hold of, I think they said it was a 17-minute recording that was given out by this woman, McPherson.
Conversation between Merrill and her.
That's the way I understand it. It was a conversation between the two of them. And at that point, Merrill was kind of, caught. He said, yeah. And yesterday released a statement saying that he indeed had an affair and that he would not be running for office in 2022. And he said that because he was expected to run for Senate. So far, there's only two candidates that have been that have announced their candidacy for the soon-to-be vacant Senate seat, which will be given up by Richard Shelby. Merrill was expected to run for office for that. And after these accusations were put out there and he admitted to the affair, he said he will not be running for office. Now, he did not say whether he would resign from his current office as Secretary of State. That term ends in 2023.
So the difference between Merrill's situation and the past LoveGov's situation, Bentley, is that in this case, the woman came out to expose Merrill.
Right.
In the Bentley case, he just got found out and got caught. The two of them got caught.
And he was caught because, remember, and we're talking about Governor Bentley here, he was it an accidental call that was made? Somehow his wife, Diane, was at the beach and had her phone.
She was on
a
zip line at the beach.
She was on.
Remember, she did the zip line?
That's right. She was at the beach, and somehow the phone conversation was picking up what was happening between Bentley and Rebecca Mason. And that's what caught Bentley. But so, this woman came out, and apparently it was a pretty passionate affair they had.
So what's her motivation? I guess, you know, why does she have to ruin the guy's political career because he broke up with her?
The way it was framed in this story from National File, and again, we're talking about a site I'd never heard of before, mm-hmm. so you have to keep that in mind.
But we've all heard of AL.com.
We have heard of AL.com. That's right. And the way that it was framed initially is that she was upset with how their relationship ended and maybe how he acted in this alleged relationship, and maybe some bridges were burnt, and that's why she came out and levied these accusations. But regardless, it's a major hit, at least short-term a major hit to John Merrill's political aspirations. And, of course, you know, we're still talking about someone's marriage here, so you want that to end as well as it possibly can for them to maybe figure out their problems there. But that changes the Senate race. I'm not sure how much, though, because I listened to all of the commentary yesterday on the Jeff Poor Show that followed former President Trump endorsing Congressman Mo Brooks.
One quick question. Had this news broken during the Jeff Poor Show where it was part of the conversation or no?
No.
Okay.
At that point, this news had not broken. The initial story was out there, but it's tough to report a story from a site you'd never heard of.
Yeah.
And especially when it's accusations as lewd mm-hmm. and as
explosive.
Possibly career-ending as this.
Yes.
You want to make sure that it's true. And when Merrill actually came out and admitted to the affair, now he has not admitted to all of the things that were accused of him in that article, but he has admitted to having an affair. But how much did that actually change the Senate race? How much of a chance did Merrill have to win that nomination on the Republican side anyway? Because yesterday, listening to Jeff Poor's conversations, you remember former President Trump yesterday endorsed Mo Brooks. We knew that an endorsement was likely to come in this Alabama Senate race, and I think you and I and anyone who's been paying attention thought that Mo Brooks had the best chance at winning that endorsement from President Trump,
right.
Which still carries major weight in this deep red state of Alabama.
100%.
Major weight. And that did go to Brooks yesterday. And so on the Jeff Poor Show, he was talking with, I believe, Sean Ross from Yellowhammer News and said, you know, what odds do you give John Merrill of winning this primary? And he said, really good odds. I think he will, at the very least, be in a runoff for the Republican primary for this Senate seat. Jeff pressed Sean Ross a little further and said, okay, do you think he can win the primary outright without going to a runoff, meaning get more than 50% of the vote? And Sean Ross was a little less sure about that, but certainly thinks that Mo Brooks is the heavy favorite heading into this 2022 race. Remember, right now there are only two candidates that have announced. No Democrats have announced their candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
You have Linda Blanchard, who is the ambassador to Slovenia in the Trump campaign or Trump administration. She said she has $5 million of her own money that she'll put towards this race, but she did not get that coveted Trump endorsement, which maybe she was expecting, maybe not. That ends up going to Mo Brooks, which helped spur a campaign that already appears to go pretty swimmingly for the congressman.
The Blanchard thing reminds me a little bit of Bloomberg. Remember, he spent his own money.
That's right.
In Florida, and he spent a lot of money, and the campaign went about 8 days.
Yeah, it did him no good.
No good.
Except a waste of money.
Name ID, Mo Brooks. Trump support, Mo Brooks. Isn't that game, set, match?
Yeah, and I haven't heard Linda Blanchard on any interviews or I can't tell you what her voice sounds like. Mo Brooks has already been all around the state.
All around the nation.
All around the nation.
8-15, FM Talk 106.5. That's another one of the things where the restrictions have been lifted. Did you see that? Racetracks. And I was in Pensacola a month ago at Five Flag Speedway. I think it's the... Snowball Derby.
Snowball Derby is huge.
It wasn't packed. That's a big stadium they've got there for the racing. The Five Flags. A lot bigger than Mobile. In any event... in Florida, it looked like the restriction had already been lifted, to be honest with you. Hey, by the way, Boatler Richardson Wolf really good guys and really good attorneys, too. They're a local law firm. They handle injury and other insurance claims for victims in Alabama and Mississippi and also back over in Florida, too. And it's they're pretty simple about this. They'll be happy to sit down and meet with you about whatever your concern is. And at that point, I think you're going to realize what they're all about. Full client satisfaction. They want to make sure that you get what you deserve, what you need, and what you want out of whatever the situation is. And you may have a claim and not really understand that you do, from auto accidents to equipment malfunctions on the job. There could be a claim out there. You don't even realize it, but somehow you're being penalized, maybe losing wages, whatever. Talk to them. Find out if they think you got something to work with here. And a law firm that, by the way, is recommended by other law firms in the area. I think that's pretty strong right there. BRWLawyers.com. That is the website. You can go to it. It's interactive, and it'll explain to a lot about who these guys are and what they do. And you can call or text anytime, 251-433-7766. That's 433-7766. They're in the Bancorp South Building, Dolphin and I-65. So give them a call, set an appointment, and get your compensation underway. Boatler, Richardson, Wolf. Again, visit online at brwlawyers.com or call 251-433-7766.
Coming up, we'll talk with Rob Holbert about the newest issue of Lagniappe on stands now. And right now, going to the texts, 343-0106. You can also jump on the phone line. Ben here discussing the Secretary of State's allegations of an affair over the last couple of days, and Merrill then admitting to the affair and saying he won't run for office. Ben says that Merrill's integrity has been compromised and that he needs to resign from his role as the Secretary of State. And Ben, surely not the only one in the state calling for the Secretary of State to resign. Let's see here. Leanna reminding me that Diane Bentley actually caught former Governor Robert Bentley. She had an idea that something was happening, so she left her phone on record inside. That's right, and that's how she figured out that there was an affair going on
there. So it wasn't a phone call. Well, it was activity that she heard.
Exactly.
Leaving her phone back like a wiretap.
Yeah, exactly. And then Travis says, this might have been done, speaking of the Merrill thing, this might have been done to eliminate the Roy Moore situation. It could have possibly haunted the Republicans if it came down to Merrill and Brooks. The shame game could go to either one of them. So that's interesting. And I'm wondering if there will be a scandal to, befall whoever ends up being the Republican candidate for that Senate seat. You know that the media, because remember during the Roy Moore campaign, those stories were coming down from like the Washington Post and New York Times, big time, national.
Powerful.
Yeah, some very powerful conglomerates that were running those stories. I have a feeling the same thing will be at least attempted for whoever ends up winning the Republican primary or gets into a runoff for that Republican seat. There haven't been any Democrats to announce they're running for that Senate seat. If anything, a couple have already bowed out. Don't believe former Senator Doug Jones will be running for that seat, or someone else also announced the other day that they wouldn't run. But
would not run.
Yeah, that they would not run. But what would that? What would they be able to get someone on? I can see for sure once Mo Brooks, it's pretty much he is the favorite to at the very least be in the runoff for this primary. And when that happens, I think you can expect hit pieces about that January 6th speech.
Mo Brooks, if you want to object about Mo Brooks, you don't have to go behind the scenes.
Right.
It's right in front of your face. January 6th, if you want to say that he and Trump got him all riled up, I think evidence points to the fact that these people, the ones that did what they did, two things. So the security was bad. Mm-hmm. The intelligence was poor.
Right.
And so they weren't ready for it. And people were ready to go do what they did.
Regardless.
Regardless of if they said if they sang happy birthday, if they said give them hell.
And once those hit pieces come out on Brooks,
that's not going to affect
him. It won't make a lick of difference. No. Now, if anything, it'll galvanize his supporters, and they'll be even more likely to turn out to the polls. So that's kind of what's going on in the Senate race. I'm interested to see after the endorsement of Brooks, who on the Republican side might jump in and try to compete against him, because that's going to be a tough road to hoe. But we still have a long way to go, and I'm positive there will be at least a few more candidates.
Well, the name ID right now they talk about all the time in politics is way higher than it's ever been for Mo Brooks statewide.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trump endorsement, that kind of magnifies it, right?
Right.
So if you're jumping in, what message can you sell that you're going to be Mo Brooks at this point?
Well, you would have the only lane you could really find that's different from Mo Brooks as a Republican would be kind of in that moderate Republican or maybe even the never Trumper Republican lane. And I don't see how that would be a successful lane to run in this kind of race, because especially after the 2020 election, there's a major support for Trump in this state, and his endorsement carries a lot of weight. But even if he hadn't jumped in on this race, the former president, I still think Mo Brooks would be the MAGA candidate.
I think so, too. I think that Alabama conservatives are probably more interested in a Mo Brooks-type guy going to Washington, D.C., than even a Richard Shelby, who for years and years has done all the backdoor dealings, and he's why we have what we have in Huntsville and the port.
Another thing that benefits the Republicans, regardless of who ends up winning that primary, is that you have Democrats in office right now. You have a Democrat in the White House, and the Senate is split 50-50. So the Republicans now are running on things like the border and what's going on down there, how much money is being spent from the top of the federal government, and Mo Brooks is hammering them every time you hear him in an interview, and even more ammo now with what's going on at the border and what the Texas governor had to come out and say yesterday.
These were harsh words for what Greg Abbott said in a Wednesday evening press conference. Was he received tips about these things going on at the Freeman Coliseum facility. This is in San Antonio, where young people, he says, were being actually abused.
The Biden administration is now presiding over the abuse of children. To end this abuse, the Biden administration must immediately shut down this facility.
You notice he didn't say, hey, I've heard some bad, unfortunate things are happening at this facility. He said the Biden administration is overseeing the abuse of children, which is a little rough. But, hopefully that kind of, there's a county councilwoman or county administrator who said that she's been at this facility many times. That is not true. They also were talking about COVID and it's spreading in this facility. She says that is not true. So anyway, Greg Abbott making a big splash with some heavy words having to do with quote unquote a tip that he got.
Well, a Texas TV station, KSAT, is begun reporting on this, and they're talking about this specific facility in San Antonio,
right?
Where they said the number of children that are detained there has tripled in the last 2 weeks, and that their agencies, state and federal agencies, have received those complaints about abuse.
Man.
On March 29th, there were 500 male boys between 13 and 17 that were taken to the Freeman Expo Center where these migrant children are being held. That was March 29th. As of Monday this week, that number had gone up to 1,370 children in that one facility.
Mayhem.
And that's where some of these accusations of abuse are taking place. And so, you set the rules, you got to play by them. They were saying this with Trump when he was in office, that he was locking kids in cages. So it makes perfect sense that the Republicans, when Biden's in office, would come out and say the same things, basically. And there's even a Texas rancher I saw, it came out on Fox News, has a bunch of land down there at the border and says he's been finding the bodies of migrants on his property that are trying to get into the United States. So
dead bodies?
Yes.
Dead bodies? Wow.
That's exactly right.
It is such an incredible mess down at the border.
My brother is in Del Rio, Texas, and I've talked about this with him before. I haven't checked in the last few weeks. I'm going to shoot him a text or give him a call and say, how bad is it in your area? And it's different all across the border, but it seems like it has reached crisis mode here.
Yeah, also problems in Arizona, problems down below San Diego. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, Mobile Mornings.
835 FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Trey Bennett and the crew doing great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. Yesterday, Dan, I was again preparing for the potential storm that would be rolling through, or storms that would be rolling through the area overnight. Right. So all of the kids' toys that are in the backyard, rounded them up so that they wouldn't end up in the neighbor's yard. And I was thinking,
very responsible.
Right now, even though it looks like it, none of this is junk. But in 10, 12 years, if I'm still moving the baby toys out of the yard, that would be considered junk.
You know what it'll be?
What's that?
It'll look just like the deplorable yard I saw near the tennis center.
Yeah, so
spoken about time and time again. I saw Trey Bennett, and I recommended. I said, just as a, just to help out our community, please go clean up that yard
on the house. This one, yeah. So maybe you're like me, and it's time to clean up, spring clean, and get some stuff taken out of your yard and your house. Maybe it's too heavy for you to move it, or it's some of that e-waste that you don't know where you're supposed to take it. Just give 1-800-GOT-JUNK a call. The pricing is up front. They won't hit you with charges after the fact that you are surprised to see. And it's easy to make an appointment. They'll set up a time that works for you. So give them a call today and set up your appointment at 1-800-GOT-JUNK or online 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Rob Hulbert is our guest on Thursdays in the 8 o'clock hour and is with us again today from Lanyap Mobile. Sorry, I said I made up a new name for your publication.
Okay.
Lanyap. So do we start with John Merrill, or where do you want to go here?
I mean, might as well. You know, it's sort of the political scandal of the day.
Yes.
You know, I assume people probably at this point realize that the Secretary of State has admitted to a relatively long-term affair. And has withdrawn from running for the U.S. Senate. Yesterday, that came out yesterday, and you know, I guess it broke on like a really strange right wing blog, and then he proceeded to deny it, and told these kind of bizarre stories about how this woman was obsessed with him, and he had talked to her, but she was obsessed with him, and he had gone to his wife and said, "Hey, I think this woman's obsessed with me," and they decided together that he shouldn't talk to her anymore. And then I guess yesterday an AL.com reporter had an audio tape from the woman, and as he was denying it, they played it for him, and then he quickly reversed course and admitted it. And so that's, you know, it's as in some sectors, I guess I was told by one person, the least surprising political scandal of the year.
apparently that says something.
That this is not something anybody was super surprised about with him.
You know, Rob, you know, if affair accusations and admitting to affairs is not necessarily new in American government.
No.
But the problem, the biggest issue I have with what happened over these last couple of days, of course, an affair is an affair. And I think, you know, families need to work that out. Husband and wife and whoever else is associated with that. It's not a good look, and I would say it would lead to you believing that he is morally compromised, or anyone that does something like this. But my biggest issue is that he came out and blamed this woman before admitting that it was truthful. And that does just a number of terrible things, not just to him, but if you think of any other, whether it's a high-profile athlete or otherwise a high-profile celebrity, and they're hit with accusations like this that are not true, anytime somebody like John Merrill comes out and completely denies that something like this happened and then places the blame back on the person who is accusing them of this, that just, it makes it tougher for any innocent person to be, you know, found innocent in something like this. It ruins it.
Yeah, it does, and I think the other thing, too, is to remember that he was accused of this sort of thing about 5 or 6 years ago when he ran for Senate the first time, and he was accused of having an affair or some kind of, maybe not an affair, but a sexual encounter with the wife of a friend who asked him to go speak to her about their marriage to help strengthen their marriage or get back on track, and she ended up testifying during the divorce that she had sex with him, had oral sex with him, and he admitted to media that they had some sort of moment, but that it didn't go that far. And so, you know, it's now you look at it and say, you know, here's two of them in a row, and then on top of that, this is the part I agree with you completely. It's the lying is the part. I'm not condoning that, but condoning the affair, but I'm just saying that the lying is the biggest part of it to me. And it also is the complete lack of judgment in that he got caught before when he was running for Senate. He has wanted to run for Senate for some time. This isn't a surprise to him that he was going to be running for U.S. Senate at some point. And then he took this on again. He decided to do this again. And so, you have to wonder, does he have good judgment?
Well, I think his actions are answering the question. And here's the other thing. These are the two instances where he got caught.
That we know of.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I suspect you're going to hear more. I don't know. Just my guess, you're probably going to hear more.
And really, this, I'm sure he did not want this to happen. Of course, it's a major hit to his political career. But in the end, probably saved him some time and money after that Trump endorsement came down for Congressman Mo Brooks yesterday.
Saved him time and money.
How
convenient.
Yeah, I know he didn't want it to happen. But
it certainly has. I don't think he was a strong candidate to begin with.
No, I don't think so.
And, that doesn't help.
No, certainly not. Well, that is a Alabama scandal between, it was an affair, but they were consensual adults. Your cover story this week in Lagniappe is regarding a scandal that's local and involves alleged non-consensual activities and what's going on at Spring Hill and Title IX and how that all kind of works together. Kind of talk to us a little bit about the cover story this week.
Well, it touches on what's going on out at Spring Hill where a female student said she was attacked and raped by another student when she was intoxicated. And it's brought out a number of people who've kind of said after the fact, hey, we had issues there as well, and it was never taken care of. But we're also looking at the issue as a whole because, it's schools have to deal with Title IX and with gender equity laws.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that universities across the country do and that are, they have a lot to deal with in that regard. But at times it can be pretty tough. There's, we've done some stories on a guy out at the South. There's a couple of stories in this issue that about men out at South who had some real problems based on accusations that may not be true, and the way the schools handled it immediately are pretty tough on the when you're accused. I guess it's one of those things where you're sort of guilty until proven innocent,
right?
And so it's a tough place to be in because you don't want to in a situation where you're not hearing out the victims, but also there is due process.
Mm-hmm. And we see that at colleges, of course, with people that aren't really publicly known, and we see it nationally almost every day. We're kind of seeing similar things in the NFL with Deshaun Watson, who's had a number of accusers, massage therapists, come forward and say that they were assaulted by him. And also in Congress, this thing with Matt Gaetz, who's been accused of a number of different things. And
I can't keep up with all he's going through.
That is just an absurd story, all these allegations that have been levied there. But it's kind of exactly what you're talking about right there, Rob, with guilty until proven innocent rather than the other way around, because on a national stage you see so many critics say, you need to release Deshaun Watson from the NFL right now. He doesn't need to have a single sponsor stand beside him. And same thing with Gaetz. They want him out of office. Well, that's with publicly known people. When you're talking about people at colleges, men usually who have been accused of things, like you said, with this Title IX, it's the process has kind of been turned on its head. It's not innocent until proven guilty anymore.
I mean, we've got a story, and I hate this. It's a little graphic, I guess, but this one guy at South had been having consensual intercourse with two girls together, mm-hmm. all three of them, on multiple occasions. And then the last time they did that, they were intoxicated, and they complained and said that he had done this. They were not consensual at that time because they had had too much to drink.
Mm.
And so he got in a lot of trouble over that. And in a situation where it was something that they had, you know, you kind of look at it and go, would he know that that was non-consensual or what? You know, it seems kind of strange that they've been doing that repeatedly, but then the last time, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of situation. And he got, you know, banned from class and these types of things. It's very detrimental to him. But it was one of those situations, like you said, it's like, I think something needs to be done to him right now. Mm-hmm. And I think they're still going through that whole process.
Yeah, you talk about a story that needs to be examined with some context. That would be it right there. That would be an example of that
exactly.
Right there. Right?
It's a strange one.
I've got a little information coming from Natalie at USA Health and what they're doing down at the Civic Center today. We'll pass that along, and then more with Rob Hulbert and Lanyap Mobile on the way on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton and Rob Hulbert with Lanyap Mobile. More with him on the way. FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:50. Dalton, I just got some stats from Natalie Fox, the chief nursing officer at USA Health Physicians.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the vaccination they're doing, that's daily. It's appointment. It's a drive up down at the Civic Center. And this week, they're doing anywhere from 600 to 700 a day. Last Monday, was 1,500, and Tuesday was 1,300. She thinks the reason for the decrease is a number of things, including people on spring break.
Ah.
So that could be. The site is also allowing someone to directly schedule now, no waiting on a return text or email. So anyway, check that out if you want to get the vaccine. It's easier right now at the Civic Center and with the USA Health, as in like today.
And by the way, Baldwin County, I know vaccine's hard to come by. Come on over to Mobile. Yeah. That's what Dr. Chavers with the MCHD said. We're talking with Rob Hulbert, LanyapMobile.com, and the best coverage of local news, scandals, pretty much anything comes from Lanyap. Rob, how can people sign up online and find the latest issue on Stans?
Well, you can find us at all the purple boxes scattered throughout the community. And then, of course, you can go online at lanyapmobile.com and become a subscriber for 21 cents a day. And what you don't miss then is all the breaking news we do, plus our weekly blog, the Lagnapod, our podcast, the Lagnapod. You get on my Sunday brunch column, you get a lot of different things by joining. So it's hopefully it's worth it for everybody. It keeps you updated, and it's also convenient.
Lanyap contributor Jeff Poor has got a show right after ours on FM Talk 106.5. His guests include Alabama Daily News' Todd Stacey, former State Senator Rusty Glover, also Mobile Councilman Joel Daves, and Matt
Murphy.
Matt Murphy is from Birmingham, right?
That's correct.
And so I guess they'll be talking about
the scandal, and also sounds like some Amtrak talk coming up as well.
Okay.
The coal ash situation, Rob. You guys this week have some fantastic coverage from that public meeting that was held
Fairland last week.
Yeah. And what's going on there? Kind of fill us in here.
Well, you know, everybody, I think at this point, most people know that Alabama Power has 21 million tons of coal ash in a pond along the Mobile River, that the pond has to be closed because it is within a few feet of the water table, and it is leaching toxins into the water table, as are all their ponds around the state, and it has to be closed. There are two methods of closing it. You can dig it all out and move it to a lined landfill away from the water, or they do this thing called cap in place, where they drain the water off of it, and then they kind of just cover it with a synthetic cover, and you know, hopefully it doesn't continue to leak.
Yeah, hope for the best.
Yeah, well, yeah, they've done one. They did one in Gadsden already, and it's continued to leach toxins into the water table. A lot of people are saying, "Hey, you know, we need to move this." And a lot of states, some states have required that these be moved out of unlined ponds, but of course, this being Alabama, nobody's interested in that, and basically they're all going to just bury them. And so we had a hearing. They've got to have some hearings on that, public hearing last week, at which no elected official showed up at all.
Wow,
it was kind of fascinating. I mean, it's, you know, I like to joke. It's like, what can you get all of our public officials to agree on? Something that Alabama Power wants them to do. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there's nobody. There's only a couple of dissenting voices, period, of all the politicians that we've talked to, all the elected officials. Gina Gregory and Victor Gatz were the only two out of everybody we've talked to mm-hmm. who said, you know, they ought to dig it up. And then that was when we did a story on it over a year ago. And at this point, you know, nobody showed up at that hearing to even listen to the constituents talk about it or to make a comment of their own. And so, you know, you just don't really have much interest, it seems, from the elected officials in this, which is, you know, it's a situation where we've had, you know, in other places in the country where you've seen these coal ash ponds collapse and dump tons and tons of coal ash into the environment. It's very dangerous. It's killed people. It's destroyed
marine life.
You know, marine life. It's destroyed a lot of stuff. So we're taking a chance doing it this way, I think. And, you know, we're already paying at this point. We're already paying for this mitigation process. The power, your power bills went up by 3% over a year ago from Public Service Commission for Alabama Power to clean up this coal ash.
Hmm.
But they're doing it the cheapest way they can find.
Wow. And, you know, if you're an elected official, really no need to show up to those meetings with the coverage that Lanyap's giving. Because what I really like that Gabe Tynes did this week is you've got a picture of pretty much everyone who got up to speak at that meeting. And what I like about this kind of coverage is we kind of know where certain people will stand on this issue based on their role in the public. Like, you know, the people that are environmentalists will be on one side of the debate. You know, the people that maybe work for Alabama Power will be on the other side. But what I'm interested in are what these citizens that it would directly affect think about this. And that's what you did here in this issue. You've got a quote under each picture of each speaker that stood up at that meeting. And it seems like there are quite a few, you know, people that would be directly affected by this that aren't paid off in any way, that aren't happy with what Alabama Power's done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, a lot of folks who have to live, especially folks who have to live closer by that have reason to be concerned about it. You know, I would be happier with what they're doing if they would answer one question, and that is the question of if this doesn't work, if you do cap in place and it continues to leak into the water table, what will you do? Will you then dig it out? They won't answer that question. We've asked it 100 times. They will not answer the question.
What is the cost? What is the cost of doing it right?
Oh, it's billions. It's billions of dollars either way. And mm-hmm. it's more billions to do it right. But, you know, this is Alabama Power is guaranteed a profit by a Public Service Commission. It is written in that they will make a profit. So this isn't something where they're going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it turns into a situation where they don't want to spend the money. They don't want to have to raise. I mean, it's going to cost people,
well,
no doubt.
And it's a gamble, too, on Alabama Power's part, because you mentioned that people have died from this similar situation in the past. If they're sued after the fact, you know, who knows how much that tab could end up running up.
That's somebody else's problem at that point. It's whoever's running things now will probably be retired at that point, whatever else. You know, it's always somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it, they've known this was coming for several years. It has been this was, you know, this cap and cleaning these ponds out is not new, and they knew it was coming and continued to dump millions of tons of coal ash into the ponds after they knew it was coming, and then claim, oh, it's too big to move now. You know, it's too big a problem. So, you know, they created a bigger problem and using the size of the problem as a reason to not do it.
Rob, we're going to have to leave it right there, man. Thanks for coming on again today.
All right, guys. Y'all have a terrific weekend.
Rob Hulbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Check it out, subscribe, and get that breaking news. That's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwig. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. You'll be here, right, Dan?
I'll be here.